The Fan on Demand.
Welcome to the party in Las Vegas. PartyPoker.net invites you to play for a spot in the biggest tournament on the planet, the World Series of Poker. Play in one of the daily qualifiers to earn your way to the WSOP with a $14,000 prize package and a chance to win your share of over $192 million in prize money. Qualify now and play for free at PartyPoker.net. Terms and conditions apply. Players must be aged 18 or over.
This is the Poker Show with Chris DeCiro, brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Rob Wong, and of the aforementioned Chris DeCiro. I feel like I haven't seen you for like a week or 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been busy.
Yeah.
It's just that time of year. You know, for me, it's May is always a crunch because I've got so much stuff to do to try and get myself ready for the World Series of Poker.
Yeah,
because, you know, that's kind of cool and important.
That's not bad, I guess. That's a pretty exciting thing in your life. I don't think I got anything that exciting going on, but you're heading out next week.
I'm heading down to Vegas next week, actually, to do a few things down there. I've got some meetings, poker industry meetings down there, and I'm also going down to go and play a final table of a great party poker event down there where 20 people are playing off for 10 WPT 5 diamond seats. So I like my chances. I kind of like my chances, but it's going to be played at the Bellagio. It should be a lot of fun. So I'm actually really looking forward to getting down there, and it'd be nice, you know, it's always nice to get to Vegas, get your feet set, and you know, play some poker before the World Series really kicks off and starts running, because that way you don't feel like you're coming from behind.
Yeah, you need a little bit of a warm-up. Coming up later in the show, we'll speak with Alex Wong of CardRunners.com, and we'll also chat about how you can improve your game online, videos, books, the whole shebang. We'll discuss it later in the show. But some news to get to, Chris, and you know, we kind of mentioned Vegas and your trip there. Of course, the WSOP is coming up right around the corner. ESPN has announced they're going to show some other events to go along with the main event. They'll show the WSOP National Championship and the One Drop, which we always seem to talk about every week. They'll show the final day of that, and I was kind of making the joke before the show began that maybe we're going to see some, you know, businessmen sitting at the final table trying to win that money. You know, guys that are, I don't know, selling paper, selling rice for a living, making big bucks there, sitting there trying to take money off Daniel Negreanu. I don't know.
Listen, I think there are more and more people, you know, that are seriously contemplating throwing their hats in this ring. And I think what happened was the WSOP released the list of players that had signed up so far. And guys looked and went, ooh.
Look at their chops.
There is some soft money in this field. So, you know, if you're a poker player and you have the buy-in, it's got to be worth it. But man, I was really excited to hear that they're going to televise this, because you might see some awful poker, you might see some brilliant poker, but what you're probably not going to see is any boring poker when you get guys playing for that kind of a prize pool. I mean, you know, 30, maybe 40 guys, $40 million prize pool for a tournament where the bulk of it is going to go to one person. That's going to be fantastic to watch. So I was pretty excited. I mean, look, at no slight against the WSOP National Championship. Don't care. I simply don't care. You know, I'd rather watch the you know, the 50K, the Chip Reese tournament. I'd rather watch the main event. But listen, this One Drop thing is going to be fantastic. So, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be there to see much of it live. I hope to be, especially the early parts of it, because I want to see the first guy to bust out and lose $1 million. Can you imagine?
I couldn't imagine. That'd be awful. And we've discussed that before. They need the heart rate monitor for this tournament.
They need suicide watch for the first guy to go out. I mean, and hopefully, it sounds bad, but hopefully, like you said, it's some rich businessman that, you know,
that can afford it, yeah.
Yeah, that can, we'll just laugh off the $1 million. To him, it was just an, you know, another vacation house in Lake Tahoe or something like that that he's losing. But boy, oh boy, you know, imagine a pro that scrapes together, you know, pieces himself off to people, sells $100,000 here and $50,000 there to come up with $1 million because he thinks he's playing in a soft tournament. And like, it gets in some crazy cooler hand. You
yeah.
know, his flop set of kings goes down to a flop set of aces, or worse yet, you know, his flop set of kings goes down to runner straight after all the money goes in. Like, oh, how's that got to amplify the bad beat if you get crushed in that way. So
yeah.
That's got to be good television.
Or the guy that gets in on the satellite. I mean, whenever you, when are you ever going to get better odds? I mean, you have a better chance of winning that than you. I guess you do with the lottery, if you think about it. I mean, you get in on the, what was it, like a $60 satellite to make your way all the way there, and then you're sitting there with 35 other guys. That's, you know, you have a 1 in 35 chance of winning that huge prize.
I don't think it's 1 in 35.
Something like that, isn't it? 40?
Well, no, 40? I'm just saying, even if there's 35 players and you satellited your way in, I don't think your chance is 1 in 35.
All right, maybe that's just me dreaming big.
I got to lay a little more money on the side of guys like Patrick Antonius and Phil Galfond and maybe Phil Ivey if he plays. And I think they may have a slight edge over the guy who makes his way through the $60 satellite step-up field to play.
Well, luckily for those people, they can listen later in the show. We'll give them advice as to how they can get better so they can...
Yeah, you know. If you satellite your way into the one drop, call me.
We want cuts.
Hit me up on Twitter. I will personally coach you for 17%.
There you go. That's not a bad rake.
Seems like a good deal.
That definitely seems like...
Did I hit the right number there?
I don't know. My birthday's April 17th, so I
got married on August 17th.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
So I kind of have an affinity for the number 17.
I really... You know what? I have... My TaylorMade golf balls are... I personally numbered them 17.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I ordered TaylorMade golf balls with 17. So there you go. 17%. That's the perfect number. It's meant to be.
It is meant to be. I never wore 17 for like jerseys and sports. I wore 34. Because I was a big Ray Allen fan growing up. So that's double of 17, so I guess that's something. But
wow.
Yeah, I don't know. 17 is just my birthday, but I don't like go to the lottery and you know that's my number every week.
I think
week.
If you get into the one drop and you're counting on your lucky number to help you out, you probably might be in a little deep.
Yeah, well, maybe if you get A7, maybe that's your hand.
Right.
So.
Okay. Well, good chat on that.
All right, moving on to other things, and we didn't get a chance to talk about this the last couple of weeks, but of course, Amarillo Slim passing away at the age of 83 due to colon cancer. I mean, when you think of poker, he's the first famous professional poker player, Amarillo Slim. You know, it's kind of sad because, you know, we're getting to an age now where, you know, we have big personalities. There's still guys like Phil Hellmuth, Daniel Legrano, Mike the Mouth Matisseau, but, you know, these larger-than-life characters, the Doyle Brunsons, the Amarillo Slims, the Stu Ungers, I mean, those big, big names. I mean, unfortunately, you know, age is passing them by, and some of them are moving on to, you know, the afterlife, but Amarillo Slim, the first big, big poker name, passes away. I mean, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it was. It was a little bit sad. And, you know, it's as you say, it's one of those things. And by the way, Doyle would hate you for lumping his name in with two dead guys because he's tired of the rumors of his death. He seems like every month someone puts out on Twitter or something like that that Doyle Brunson has died, you know, which is...
That's terrible.
It is. It's terrible, yeah. You know. But Amarillo Slim was a guy who got bigger than the game of poker. And he made his way, you know, through... The Texas Rounders days, you know, he was on the road with a couple of the greatest poker players in the world, you know, Sailor Roberts and Doyle Brunson, which is not a bad way to travel. And Slim wasn't the poker player amongst those guys, but he was the hustler. And, you know, if you ever want to read great stuff, just read about Amarillo Slim's exploits. I mean, this is a guy who beat Bobby Riggs at a game of ping pong.
With a skillet.
Yeah, I mean, and this was his deal. Like, he was probably the greatest prop bettor that ever made. And he would do that. So you take Bobby Riggs, who was a tennis champion, a men's tennis champion, who, you know, was famous for taking all sorts of crazy bets. And he said that he could beat him at ping pong. And the only stipulation he had was that he got to choose the paddles. And he chose iron skillets, which he practiced with for months before the match. And he beat Bobby Riggs at table tennis. He bet someone that he could beat a racehorse in a 100-yard race.
Yeah.
And what he did was he put turns in there because the horse couldn't reverse directions the way that he could. So he made it like a wind sprint, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, so he could win. I mean, he was just a guy who would find the edge to make a bet that would beat you. And, you know, that's the character, the lifeblood of the poker world. And if there's one knock that you can make about all these, you know, young kids that come up, is that they don't have that big personality, that sparkling, you know, sort of charm that comes along with, you know, the ability to make a bet on anything, absolutely anything. And Slim was totally that guy. I remember being in the Rio a couple of years ago when he made his return to the WSOP after, you know, he had some legal problems and that may or may not have been true. You know, it depends on who you believe. But those closest to him believe that none of it was true, that he just took an easy way out to avoid any further embarrassment. But I was there when he came back to the Rio. And first of all, people were really glad to see him. And second of all, I got to witness firsthand Doyle Brunson and Amarillo Slim in one of those scooter races. You know, those scooters, the handicap scooters.
Yeah.
They race their scooters in the hallways of the Rio for money. And, you know, I felt like I was watching history right there, because that's just the way that those guys have been, you know, had been carrying on their business for, you know, 50 years.
Yeah, and the hats, of course. The big Stetson hats that those two guys wear.
Oh, with rattlesnakes on them and, you know, the cowboy boots. He was a personality. I mean, the guy was on Johnny Carson numerous times. You
played
know,
poker with presidents.
Yeah, you know, and that's really the thing that is probably going to be lacking when all of these guys sort of pass on, is the ability to find fun in the gambling part of it. You know, the ability to make something humorous. And there's still guys out there that are like that. I mean, Huck Seed's a throwback to that. He'll make a prop bet on anything. You know, he's got that slow charm that just seems to work on people. But it was really sad. It was sad to hear about him passing away. And I know that a lot of the people that have been around poker for a long time, you know, had a certain amount of respect for Slim.
And I guess with the thing, you know, obviously you can make bets and make fun bets. But how much of the fact do you think with Twitter and TMZ and just the social media aspect now, you know, you hear stories, you know, like we just think about the story, I guess, where he was found, you know, bound, taped, naked in an Atlanta hotel, Amarillo Slim was, and we look at it now, we go, oh, that's kind of funny. But you know, how many poker players out there or gamblers out there want people to know about things like that? I mean, people just kind of tend to blow things out of proportions nowadays, it seems, as opposed to, you know, making these stories like, you know, just a big funny joke, you know?
Well, and that was part of Slim's charm and his personality, was that, you know, he wasn't afraid to make fun of himself, because he knew very well that playing himself down at times would help his ultimate goal of winning some sort of a bet off of you. And, you know, this was a guy that just lived for the bet. I mean, you can just go on and on his exploits in prop betting. Beat Minnesota Fats at pool.
With a broom.
With broom handles. That was his stipulation. Couldn't use a pool cue. He had to use a broom handle. I mean, on and on and on and on. And it's a larger-than-life character. And, you know, I can't think of anybody now in the poker world under the age of 35 that has that personality, that has that great charisma. So, you know, hopefully people look back at his life and say, there's something to that. There's something towards living that way, and maybe we'll see more of it.
Yeah, definitely a man that lived his life to the fullest right up until the end. Coming up next here on The Poker Show, we're going to chat about how you can improve your game. As for yourself, Chris, I mean, when you first got started, books, videos, personal coaches, how'd you get started?
None of the above.
None of the above, really?
No, I started playing poker at a fairly young age in the golf club locker rooms, and I learned by losing, you know, because I didn't take losing very lightly. And even though I was, even at a young age, a winning player, when I would lose at something, I'd try and figure out why, what I did wrong, and how I could make it better. And I didn't understand the math. I didn't understand, you know, a lot of the strategy that went with it, but I just knew that there was probably something that I had done wrong at some point. And, you know, as I got older and more advanced in the game, I started to read the books, you know, the great books of poker, and try and learn things from it. And, you know, I've had the pleasure and the good fortune to attend, you know, WSOP academies, WPT boot camps, you know, all of these great teaching academies, and, you know, watch some of the best teachers in the game teach you. You know, the WPT boot camps were tremendous tools for me to learn the game. And I took what I learned in a WPT boot camp and took it right out and had my first big cash in a tournament, you know, immediately following that. And I owed a lot of that to the WPT and their teaching academy. So education, like, you just can't beat it in this game. And if you're not trying to get better, then what the hell are you doing?
I don't know. That's pretty much all you can say. There's so many avenues you can go down. Chris and I will try to push you in the right direction next here on The Poker Show, brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome to the party in Las Vegas. PartyPoker.net invites you to play for a spot in the biggest tournament on the planet, the World Series of Poker. play in one of the daily qualifiers and earn your way to the WSOP with a $14,000 prize package. Play for free at partypoker.net to see if you've got what it takes to get to Vegas. Qualify now at partypoker.net. Terms and conditions apply. Players must be aged 18 or over.
Coming down in 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to the Poker Show, brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Chris DeCiro and Rob Wong. And just before we have Alex Wong in the next segment, of course, from CardRunners.com, we're going to chat a little bit about how you can improve your game. Chris, there's so many ways. I mean, books, websites like CardRunners.com, DVDs. I mean, there really are. It's really limitless as to what you can do to improve your game. As far as, I guess, somebody who wants to get started, what's the avenue that you would push them towards to really get the ball rolling?
You know, that's the great thing about this game is that, like they say all the time, Mike Sexton's tagline all the time on the World Poker Tour is, you know, it's a game, it's a Cadillac of poker games. It takes 5 minutes to learn and a lifetime to master. And that's really the truth about this game is that no matter how much you educate yourself about it, there's always more that you can learn and more to study. People pick up the basics of the game very quickly. But I'll teach poker seminars at events and teach, you know, poker lessons to people. And it's surprising how little they understand the actual theories of the game. They understand the mechanics of how to play it, but they can't wrap their heads around the theories of it whatsoever. And that continuing to educate yourself, continuing to figure out how to play the game and play it better is absolutely crucial to improving at the game. I mean, no matter whether you're playing micro stakes, no stakes, just for fun, or you're playing in the biggest tournaments in the world, if you're not figuring out ways to improve your game, then there's a real problem.
And that's the thing that I kind of found myself when I first got started. You mentioned the fact that it's so easy to pick up, and you know, just like that, watching the World Poker Tour or whatever, you know, big games were on TV. I picked it up very easily, and obviously playing it, you know, through high school. But then when we get into things like math, and then things like pot odds and things like that, I felt it was almost overwhelming to a certain point. Is that what you find when you teach seminars, that people are like picking it right up, but then when you get into some more advanced stuff, they're like, whoa, okay, we need to slow down here?
Well, not really. I mean, the way that I teach people, and it's kind of interesting, is I always teach everybody when I teach more advanced poker seminars the same way. And I always start out by saying to people, look, this is what you need to know about poker. If I take Daniel Negreanu or Tom Dwan or Phil Ivey and I throw them into your home Saturday night poker game, what's the outcome going to be? Well, everyone says the right answer. Everyone says they're going to win all the money. But then I ask them, oh, yeah, you're right, they are. But why? Why are they going to win all the money? And that's where you get a whole pile of different answers. People say, well, because, you know, they can look at you and figure out what you got, or, you know, they're going to read my tells and say, well, you know what, that kind of thing takes time at the table to figure out. The reason that they're going to win right off the bat is because they're always going to make the optimally best decision based on the information that they have. And that's the secret to poker. Poker is a game of information, or really it's a game of lack of information. You don't know what the other guys at the table's cards are. You know what your two cards are.
Yeah.
And if that's the way that you're playing the game, only with your two cards, then you're going to be a losing poker player. If you can start to figure out what the other guy might have, then you're on your way to be a winning poker player. And then if you get to the point where you're not just playing what your two cards are or what the other guy what might have, you're playing what you might be able to make the other guy believe that you have. Now you're starting to play high-level poker, and it's all based on information. This is a game of information, and the biggest mistakes the beginner players make, and I'll ask this every time. I guarantee you this is 100% in poker seminars that I've taught. 100% the answers come back the same way. Say, how many people at the table, how many people at the seminar will call when there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 callers in front of them, and they just call?
Yeah.
And I say, how many people will do that? And they'll say, well, I'll do that. Well, why would you do that? Well, you know, because I'm getting good pot odds or what. I say, but what do you learn when you just call? And they all look at me like they have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I said, well, poker is a game of information. And calling is an advanced play. It's not a beginner play. You call with a purpose. But when you're a beginner and you call, you're learning nothing about the strength of anybody else's hand. So if you're playing in a game of poker and there's five callers in front of you and you call two, you don't know anything about those five hands. But if those five people call and then you make a nice raise and everybody folds but one guy, now what can you guess?
Yeah.
you can guess that the guy who called you probably has some kind of a hand. And that's the point about the whole game of poker, is it's about the lack of information that you have and how you divine information from other people, whether it be tells, reads, reading the line on the table, which, you know, places like Card Runners are really good at teaching you how to do that. The young players today are so good at reading the line of the cards that come out and the lines of the bets. It's just all about that information.
And that seems to be the part of the game that is, you know, for beginners anyways, is the hardest part to learn. It's, you know, when to start playing the person as opposed to the cards, it seems. Because I remember, you know, in high school when I'm playing with my buddies, they're just playing their cards. And,
right.
And you mentioned the call. I mean, that's basically what it was during high school. And it even took me a while to realize that I have to start doing those sort of things. Like you mentioned, it's a game based on information. And there just seems to be a lot of, you know, bad habits, it seems, that beginners can't let go of when they try to get into that advanced stage.
Sure. And you ask people when you're talking to them about this type of thing, too, say, well, do you realize how important position is in poker? And they say yes, but then you ask them why, and they don't know why, because they've just heard over and over again on TV that position is so important, or this player's making a raise in position. Well, the reason is because if you're in position, you have the maximum amount of information to act upon at the table. You know more about what's happened than anybody else. If you have to act first, you're doing it with no information. So the power of that, I mean, Phil Hellmuth very famously at one point made a bet with someone that he could beat them heads up and spot them the button every time, and got crushed because you just can't do it. It's too much of an advantage. The being able to act after your opponent has is a tremendous advantage, which is why people check in the dark when they're heads up at tables. They check in the dark because it flips the script a little bit and it allows you to act last.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, you and I play golf, and we know that, you know, we see all the swing coaches, guys like Sean Foley, Hank Haney, you know, Butch Harmon, just to name a few. And, you know, I was playing the other day, and somebody mentioned to me, you know, have you taken golf lessons before? You know, your swing looks so fluid. And I'm like, no, everything I learned is from watching the Golf Channel, watching videos on YouTube. I mean, when it comes to poker, obviously, you know, having a one-on-one coach, hands-on, somebody to watch what you do obviously helps a lot. But is there a disadvantage to having, you know, a personal coach to stand there with you and take you through things? Or is it just, I guess, based on preference if somebody wants to read books and watch videos or, you know, deal with a person one-on-one?
Well, I think there's good and bad with a coach. It's just like anything. A coach is probably going to help you because they're going to be able to, if they're a good coach, they'll be able to spot the leaks in your game that you have, your flaws and your shortcomings. They'll probably be able to help you with some strategies that you don't use, that you haven't executed. But at the same token, one coach will give you one style of play, and that's almost inevitable in this game. It's the ability to take information from a whole bunch of different people and figure out all kinds of different ways to play hands. And if you talk to some of the best young players in the game, you know, like the stories of like David Benefield and Tom Dwan and you know, Cole South and Taylor Cabey, these guys, they communicated nonstop, Phil Galfond, with each other. They talked over hands for hours and hours and hours and hours. Same as Daniel Negreanu talked about doing when he was a young player coming up with Alan Cunningham and Phil Ivey and Josh Arya. They would talk about hands and the way to play hands over and over and over again. And interestingly enough, in the first segment of the show, we talked about Amarillo Slim Preston. Doyle Brunson wrote a blog about his time with Slim Preston, and he said that was one of the great things about their traveling was that they would spend hours talking about how to play hands, figuring out the math of hands when nobody did card math in those days, figuring out the odds of things. And that gave them an advantage over everybody else in the games that they were playing.
And it's, you know, it seems like we're sort of moving away from that. I mean, you know, early back in the day, or I guess recently, it's just a lot of younger people looking for older mentors. But it seems like, you know, that pack mentality is back. You mentioned the fact that, you know, all these guys and all their friends that they're coming up with at the same age as professional poker players, they just bounce information off with each other, and they're just students of the game with each other, as opposed to having, you know, a mentor, you know, having a bunch of proteges, it seems.
Well, it's a lot of poker is understanding how people think about the game. The more you understand about how your opponent might think through a hand, the more advantage that you have, because again, it comes down to that information. If you're just playing your two cards, then it's really difficult to win at anything. You know, it's the idea of, is a person capable of making this play in this position with this hand? And sometimes the answer is very black and white, yes or no. And, you know, just even to be able to divine that is a big, big advantage in what's going on. Does it make sense? Does the play make any sense? Is the story they're trying to tell me make any sense? Well, part of the ability to make sense of those things is the ability to talk to different people about why they make plays and why they think that way in certain hands. Because you can't do it just looking through your own eyes. You need to be able to see it from the other side of the table.
Now, I already talked about how, you know, maybe beginners want to get started. Now, if you want to take it to that next level, are there certain books out there that people should be trying to grab? Or are there certain...
Yeah, all of them.
All of them?
You should... No, that's... Look, there's some Bibles of poker.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to play Hold'em poker, if you want to play tournament poker, you need to read Harrington on Hold'em. You need to read Super Systems, Doyle's books. You know, you need to read Daniel Negreanu's books on small ball poker. Phil Gordon's books are good. The more that you read, the better off you're going to be. The more that you study the game, the better off you're going to be. You know, look, going to these, the various sites, the teaching sites, Poker VT, Card Runners, Blue Fire Poker, great sites. I mean, again, it's that process of educating you, of teaching you more and more and more about the game. The more you can open up your eyes to see what's going on, the better chance you have of being successful at the table. And that's really the key to all of it. And, you know, you talk about people only being able to see the two cards in front of their face. When I teach seminars, I will have everybody, I do this every time, repeat back one thing to me. More than once. And I will tell the audience, repeat after me, you cannot bluff a bad player. And they laugh. And I say, no, I want you to say it. You cannot bluff a bad player.
Yeah, it's true.
And you explain to them, because that player is not playing with any information. They're only looking at the two cards in front of their faces. And they look down and see two fives and they think, woohoo, I got a pair.
Yeah.
And when the board is ace, king, queen, and you bet, and they call, and you bet again, and they call, and you bet again, and they call, and they turn over their two fives to beat your busted straight draw, and you say, how could you call with that? You're the dummy, because you tried to bluff someone who wasn't looking for a bluff. You know. So again, it's that information. You have to know who you're playing. You have to know who you're sitting at the table with. And I'm sorry to tell you, Rob, you have to be able to do math.
Yeah, I'm not very good at math. Never was. So maybe that's maybe
but the
that's
card
why I'm so
the
cool.
card math is actually very simple. I will teach it to you. I promise you. I'll make you this as a promise. I will teach you how to do card math so that you can do it. And if you can't learn it, how to play card math, I'll give up poker.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting bet. I might have to take you up on that.
Yeah. It's quite that easy.
Just got a bit of a minute left here. But you know, I kind of mentioned it before how, I mean, there's just so many things. And to some people, it may seem overwhelming. And you mentioned the fact that, you know, you're constantly learning. You constantly have to adapt. You're constantly trying to figure out what's, you know, what a new way of doing things is. And there's just so much to learn. Is that one of the reasons why, you know, maybe some people get frustrated and, you know, they just give up the game?
It's a good question.
It just seems like a lot of hard work. I mean, we were talking about a lot of things, and some people are thinking that they're listening to the show are thinking, okay, I mean, that's a lot of information, but that's
I think you have to
overload.
Have a love for the game in the first place. And if you do love the game, if you do love playing poker, then learning about it is a great thing. And, you know, the more you educate yourself about it, the easier it becomes to a certain degree. And there's a beauty, there's a wonderful sort of symmetry in learning something new, taking it to a table, applying it, and watching it work. And saying, wow, that really does work. In that situation, that particular play actually works. And there's, you know, that's sort of a really neat feeling to be able to sort it out that way. And the only way you can do that is to go through that process of trying to learn and educating and talking through hands. And when you do something at a table, I'll do this. My friends do this. My phone rings all the time, and it'll be a friend going, hey, listen, I got to tell you, I played this hand. And they want to know, they're not trying to tell you a bad beat story. They want to know if they made a mistake playing the hand. I play a hand out in a tournament or in a casino, and it's a bad outcome for me. And I quite often will look and go, did I make a mistake in there? What was the mistake in it? And it's not about the beat. It's about the process that got you there and whether you could have avoided that. And that's gold. Like, that's just gold. It's great to do it. It's great to keep your mind alert, but it makes you so much better at the game.
Yeah, it really does. That's some great advice. We'll get some more advice coming up on the final segment of The Poker Show. We'll chat with Alex Huang of CardRunners.com. He'll tell us what he can do for your game. That's next here on The Poker Show with Chris DeCiro, brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome to the party in Las Vegas. PartyPoker.net invites you to play for a spot in the biggest tournament on the planet, the World Series of Poker. Play in one of the daily qualifiers to earn your way to the WSOP with a $14,000 prize package and a chance to win your share of over $192 million in prize money. Qualify now and play for free at partypoker.net. Terms and conditions apply. Players must be aged 18 or over.
Welcome back to The Poker Show with Chris DeCiro, brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Rob Wong, and Chris, we had a great conversation last segment about, you know, how you can get better as a poker player, how you can educate yourself, and our next guest can definitely do that. It's Alex Wong of CardRunners.com. Thanks for joining us, Alex.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So, Alex, we were talking about earlier in the show about improving your game, and we all know that, you know, poker of any sort is a game that requires some study and some application to improve itself. Now, you guys have been at this for a few years. Card Runners has picked up a reputation as being one of the elite in the poker education fields. How did you guys get to this? And, you know, what was the process? And what do you try and do for the people that that come to you?
Yeah, so, you know, in terms of the process of kind of becoming one of the leaders in poker training, I guess, Our logic was just to deliver the best product out there. So, you know, what you saw at Card Runners over the years was we had aligned ourselves with some of the best players currently on the internet, and had some of, you know, the most successful players that were playing in the nosebleed stakes, and who also had an affinity for articulating their thoughts and, you know, being good instructors. So I think that's kind of what started Card Runners to become an industry leader, and then from there we just kind of grew. You know, we expanded our roster, we upped the output of videos that we had produced each week, and, you know, from there we just tried to deliver the best product we could, and, you know, clearly people liked it.
So when people come to you, is there a process? Do you try and figure out where they stand before you try and align them? Or is it just a matter of, you know, they come to Card Runners and you let them sort through the information themselves? Like, what's the give and take as far as people coming to you?
Yeah, so there's a few things. As far as kind of gauging where people are, you know, that's not really something we can do given our size. However, we do have, you know, several articles or resources that people can go to try to figure out a good pathway for learning. And, you know, we try to do a good job of being able to label our videos in such a way that a new person at the site can kind of figure out logically, this is about where I'm at from a advanced level, and these are kind of the videos that make sense for me to start at. So with the help of, like, our forums as well as some of our pros, it's pretty easy for a new member to kind of figure out where's a good starting point. And, you know, from there, we have videos kind of, we are lucky to have such a large library that we kind of have a video for everybody. And, you know, with that, it's easy to be able to deliver a product that, you know, every single person can find and gain something out of a Card Runners membership.
Alex, Chris and I were kind of talking about this in the last segment, talking about, you know, having a personal one-on-one coach live and in-person being with you there. What would you say are the advantages and maybe some of the disadvantages of, you know, these websites where you can look at videos and look at articles like CardRunners.com?
Yeah, so there's a few advantages, of course, of being with somebody. You know, there's certainly an element of, you know, just kind of having that personal connection and being in the same room that you can't replicate through a training video. However, you know, I like to think that a training site is really the best option for somebody who's kind of bringing their game to the next level, only for the reason that, you know, your personal coach might not necessarily articulate their thoughts in a way that, like, resonates the best with you. And being at one of these poker training sites, you have the benefit of, you know, 15, 20 different instructors, and each person has their own unique style of teaching. So how one coach might tell you how to 3-bet or 5-bet pre-flop might not make sense to you, but, you know, Coach B, he might be teaching the same thing, but he might say it in such a way that it really clicks with you, and, you know, you're just like, oh, okay, I totally understand what this guy's coming from, because either his style of play kind of matches yours, or just, you know, how he says it just seems to really, you know, ring a bell with you from the logic standpoint, whereas other coaches, the way they speak might just be over your head.
Now, you guys have done a pretty good job of assembling a roster of pros that if you follow poker in any degree, a lot of the names are quite familiar. Some of the best and brightest minds in you know, both online and now live poker to a large degree. Some of the guys have crossed over. Some of them came from the live poker field. But tell us about some of the pros that you guys have.
Sure. So, you know, we've certainly had some pros come and go. But right now on our roster, I think the most well-known players would probably be Brian Hastings, who's, you know, regarded as one of the best pot limit Omaha players in the world. He plays in the nosebleeds online and, you know, has had a ton of success online. Andreas Torbertson, better known as Skirvoy, he's another on our team that people probably would be familiar with the name. And then, you know, we've had a couple guys win World Series of Poker bracelets over the last couple of years. Eric Rodowick, better known as Chips Ahoy Online, he took down the 10K stud 8 or better event last year. And then Matt Matros, his online handle is Jacks Up. He's won two bracelets, one bracelet each of the last 2 years. And then, you know, we have Timex, Mike McDonald. He won the short-lived Epic Poker League. He won one of those events and has also won a couple European Poker Tour events.
Good Canadian
so
kid.
I'd say, of Waterloo. So, you know, I would say that those guys are probably the most well-known. We, you know, people who are beating 1-2, 2-4 online aren't exactly household names. And even though they might be extremely good poker players, they're probably not names unless you're like a very hardcore online fan and, you know, are browsing the forums and kind of figuring out who's winning those mid-stakes games.
Alex Wong of CardRunners.com joining us here on The Poker Show with Chris DeCero. I'm Rob Wong here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And, of course, Alex, it's hard to talk about online poker in the U.S. without talking about Black Friday. And I'm just curious how much that has affected maybe the subscriptions to your website and the impact on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, being an American-based company, it has certainly taken us down an entirely different path. You know, I still remember the day in the office when I forget how it happened, but one of us like tried to get on Poker Stars or was just browsing 2+2, and suddenly we see this post saying the FBI sees these domain names. And, you know, we kind of just laughed it off thinking that it wasn't a legitimate threat. But lo and behold, you know, Full Tilt went down and then Poker Stars went down and people were starting to freak out. And I just remember we were in the office and just kind of talking about how this might be a day that we'll just remember forever. But as far as, you know, how it's impacted us, the biggest challenge has really been finding new pros. A lot of, I would say maybe 60-70% of our instructors were US-based. So it was difficult to continue to get content from them for videos when they weren't able to play. So, you know, some of our pros have actually moved on to careers in outside of poker, utilizing those college degrees and, you know, dusted off those diplomas. And, you know, it's, we've been very actively hiring some new pros that are international. We hired 4 or 5 European and Australian pros and, just really tried to, make the transition into having more of an international customer base, you know, as smooth as possible. So, you know, we've definitely lost some customers, and I'm sure that that's the same across the board with all the major training sites. It just doesn't make sense for U.S.-based players to be, you know, spending money for a subscription when they're not even able to use what they learn from the training.
And did you guys, you know, rent yourself a big McMansion someplace in Canada or in Mexico and move Card Runners in Annex so that you can keep on playing yourselves?
No, actually, we didn't do that. Some of our pros relocated, but the management as a whole has, you know, we've stayed in the same office and, you know, just kind of kept our head above water and continue to adapt to how the poker landscape is changing. And, you know, we're hopeful that things are going to turn around the corner soon, and that poker will be back in the States in the, you know, hopefully the coming years, hopefully not even that long. But, you know, for the time being, we're just adapting and, you know, trying to make the most of what's a pretty crappy situation.
Well, we were saying in the second segment of our show tonight, listen, if you're not trying every day to advance your game of poker, to try and learn new things and educate yourself as to different ways to think about this game, then you're just falling behind, because it's become a game of education. It always has been a game of education and information, but now, you know, sites like Card Runners and, you know, the other ones too, Poker VT and Blue Fire, like, the guys have done a great job of helping people really learn how to think the game in many different ways.
Yeah, and, you know, like you said, it's information's just becoming more and more readily available. And if you're not putting forth the effort to learn, and I'm assuming, you know, if you're a semi-serious player, if you're not putting forth the effort to learn and take advantage of the internet and these poker communities and training sites, then you're really just burning money, because everybody else is, and, you know, people are just going to leave you behind.
Alex, just got about a minute left here, but for those out there that are interested in getting a subscription with cardrunners.com, how much does it cost, and any deals out there that people can get?
Yeah, so, you know, we run deals occasionally. You can follow us on Twitter at cardrunners. We probably run two or three different promotions every month. A general subscription is $360 for a 12-month you know, we release about 10 videos a week. So when it breaks down to cost per video, it's not that much. But yeah, $360 for a year, and it's like $30 a month with a $100 sign-up fee if you choose to go with the shorter term option. But like I said, you could follow us on Twitter, and we're usually promoting different discounts and deals. Yeah.
All right. Sounds great, yeah. Alex. We really appreciate you joining us on tonight's show.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. I enjoyed it.
There is Alex Huang of CardRunners.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Alex J. Huang. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter at Chris DeCero and at Huang SN590. I figured I'd say it, Chris, so you don't have to forget it.
I got it right last time.
That's true. But didn't you write it down? You cheated.
I did. Well, why is that cheating?
I don't know. It's like cheat sheets.
Poker radio is a game of information, Rob.
That's true.
The more information you have available to you, the better you can be.
Yeah, that's actually very true. But cardrunners.com, you mentioned all the other websites, Poker VT, Blue Fire.
Daniel Negreanu's site, Phil Galfond's site. Listen, you can go to any of them. There's lots of training sites out there, and they are going to help your game. They really are. It doesn't matter who you are or what level you're playing at. You will find something there that will make you better at the game. And like we were saying, if you're standing still as far as gaining information in this game goes, you're moving backwards fast, because everybody else is coming up.
And it really seems like now is, you know, one of the best times to get in, because, you know, with the online poker boom that happened years ago, so much evolution has happened with the game. So, I mean, there's just tons of information for you now, as opposed to maybe when it first began and you kind of had to keep up with the times, but it's all there for you right now.
Well, and the beauty part of it, too, was that the American players, the young American players, were very good, and they were going through all these sites, Card Runners and Poker VT, and they were talking amongst themselves and using the forums and educating themselves as how to get better at the game. So it was becoming really tough to play online poker. And, you know, there's been a bit of a reset. So, you know, if you can educate yourself when poker opens back up in the U.S., you should be ready for it.
Yeah, you definitely should be ready. That's Chris DeCero. I'm Rob Huang. If you ever miss an edition of The Poker Show, you can find us on iTunes and at sportsnet590.ca in the podcast section. This has been The Poker Show with Chris DeCero, brought to you by partypoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.